Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mine.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mine.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 3 of 150, travel day. The lead up. Last you heard, I booked my second win of the year in the second session of the year that I played. It was almost 6 a.m. on Sunday, January 2nd, 2022, when I went to the cage at Resorts World in Las Vegas with that win in my rack. I went back to Panorama Towers after that and ate some pizza that was sent to me as a gift from a pillar of DGAF community named E-Donk out there in Chicago. He's a very generous dude, obviously, and sends out some famous Chicago pizza to people, and it seemed like the thing to eat before I went to sleep. And yes, it tasted amazing, but I gotta work on this. I gotta work on what I'm eating if I'm gonna lose some weight this year, and that's the goal. Anyways, I crashed for 3 hours, and my alarm went off at 9:30 a.m. It's Sunday, and I'd set my alarm because I had a big day of football ahead of me. I was in the fantasy football playoffs somehow, some way, mostly due to corona variants. Well, I didn't have that great of a team. I was partnered with Trevor Savage, and we auto-drafted, and it was a tough league, but we ran hot. We played against teams who their players kept getting COVID before we played them, I guess. So it's pretty exciting to be in the finals. Wanted to be up for that. And obviously, I'd already fired the entire NFL board before I went to sleep. So I have action on every game and then some. And my alarm went off at 9:30, and I felt like I turned it off and got up. And I did. So I turned it off, I got up, and it was 10:30. So somehow an hour passed from when I hit, you know, off on my alarm and got up. And that's how tired I was. And I watched the games, and I got destroyed in the fantasy finals, but that's okay. Second place paid as well. And my bets did not go well on this day either. They're all neutral EV, but yeah, it just wasn't my day. And I took a nap and worked a little bit, and then I fired some more on NBA, and I actually ended up winning decent on this day. And I went to Musashi, teppanyaki place in Vegas, off the strip, kind of over by Virgin, which used to be the Hard Rock. And the chef that night was Tiger, and he was interesting socially. He wasn't graceful socially, but he was incredible as a cook. And if you ever go there, request him. It was the best fried rice I'd ever had. Again, not great for losing weight, but yeah, that's okay. Then I wanted to meet up with my friend, the nicest guy in Las Vegas. Hadn't seen him in a while. Like to check in with him every so often. So met up with him at Steiner's by South Point for a beer. And when you meet up with someone for a beer, that means you're going to have two large beers and one cocktail. And that's what I did. It was nice to see him. I slept for 4 hours, and I packed up and I headed to the airport. And I didn't feel tired or hungover at all. I just drank coffee, and I guess I was running on adrenaline. I grinded Poker Rags, my startup, which gets neglected a little bit during the each podcast season. And then when the season ends at the end of the year, then I dive way back in. We're making some changes there. And also with each new season of Sessions, I do, as mentioned already this season, I need a new design that's going to be fucking fire, as the kids would say. And so I'm going to go back and forth with whatever designer's working on it a million times until it's right. And it drives them crazy. And that's just the way it is. You have someone who's very passionate about their project. They're going to be irrational about it, but it's going to come out good. And, you know, if you're listening to this anywhere, I think anywhere you're listening to this, there's going to be a thumbnail you can look at. That's the design I'm talking about. I think it's pretty sick. And I know it's going to be our number one seller at Poker Eggs this year. More on that later. So I flew back to San Diego. I got my car from the parking lot. I just like it much better driving down to the parking lot at the airport, parking, then flying. And then when I land, I just go to my car. It's expensive. It cost me $160. But taking Uber back and forth from my granny flat in North County, San Diego, costs a lot too. And it's just not as good. A lot of the drivers are bad, or they all have these really light cars. But if you're in the back seat, you kind of get motion sickness. So I like having my own car. I drove back to my granny flat and I worked, just had the adrenaline. And then I took a nap and then I worked again. And then I ate something healthy. And then I headed to Ocean's 11 for my third session of the year. It's best to not play poker on travel days. I've known that for a while. I used to drive to Las Vegas and I'd be there for three or four sessions. And I'd always lose the first session because I was tilted from the travel. I have traveled tilt. Not really, even when I drive or fly, I don't really get like jet lag. I get tilt. So I used to always lose the first session. And even flying, on travel days, you shouldn't play poker. But I also have a pretty lofty goal for me this year of playing 750 hours. Last year, the goal was 500 hours. I came up a handful of hours short. I thought about it a lot, and I made the goal 750 this year, which is not a ton for a poker pro, but for a poker pro who's a single father and wants to coach his kids and be very present and also has a startup and, oh yeah, has a podcast that drops 3 times a week and also is a commentator 1 week a month and soon more and also has a community's building. 750 hours is a lot. So any night that I can play, I pretty much need to play. And that means in San Diego, any night I don't have my kids, I should probably go to Ocean's 11 and put a session in. So it's not a full adjustment from last year. The first drop, poker session 1 of 150, was called adjustments, and I'm making some. It's not a full adjustment because I'm going to this session not ready to play my best at all. But it is somewhat of an adjustment because if you were listening closely, I said I got my car, I paid $160, I drove back to my granny flat, I worked, I napped, and then I worked again and ate healthy, and then I went to Oceans. So the nap is the slight adjustment. Sleep is my number one thing this year. I feel like if I sleep, I can do just about anything, including complete an impossible comeback, which I'm doing this year in season 5 of Sessions. It's just happening, so fucking stay tuned. All right, now let me take a sip of my coffee, and then I'll tell you about the session on this evening at Ocean's 11. The session. It's 7:40 p.m. on January 3rd, 2022. I sat down in a 2-5 no-limit game at Ocean's 11, and the first note that I put in my phone was this: sober, but trying to change that with Bud Light drafts. So I don't always need to drink when I play poker, but I think most of the time, if it's nighttime, I do, because that means I've already worked a bunch in the day. And also, if it's red chip poker, I need to, because I've just been at the table too much in my life, more than any man should, but it's okay. That's the story. So that was the first note. Sober, but trying to change that with Bud Light drafts. And for some reason, Bud Light drafts at Ocean's 11 are amazing. I don't know why. And next note I wrote is every hand going to showdown after people fail to barrel. So I'm just, you know, I am sipping on Bud Lights and I'm just kind of card dead, and I'm watching people miss opportunities to win these really nice pots where it's clear their opponent whiffs and they just check down with like a medium high card instead of just betting and winning against ace high or whatever. And we're going to do a roll call and then we'll start playing some poker. So seat one is your protagonist, Dragon Man. Seat two is the last minute seat changer. And what does that mean? Well, that means when I got to the table, seat two was open. And when I went to start to sit down in seat two, the guy in one moved his chips over last minute. So he wanted to have position on me or, yeah, probably just that. Seat three, I hope, is not offensive. This name that I gave to this gentleman, it's a man in a wheelchair, and he is gambling, right? He called a bunch with queen nine offsuit, and once you're in the game, any significant amount of time, you respect this. You respect people that go to the casino to gamble and have fun. And as a professional poker player, you should embrace this always. It's fucking stupid to look at this any other way than, yeah, I like this. This guy gambles, right? But I called him the Roland Gambler because he's in a wheelchair and he gambles. And hopefully that's not offensive. I think it's a cool name. Roland Gambler. My bad if it's offensive. C4 is the Recognizer. So it's just a man. I don't recognize him, but he keeps looking at me like he recognizes me. Great. C5 is this nice rec. He's made appearances in other seasons of Sessions. Just a really nice recreational player. Win or lose is happy. And this is also how you should play poker. I don't believe in the word should, but this is the ideal way to play poker is you do well in life. You go to the casino enough times a week to fulfill your Jones, but not you don't go too much that you burn out. And that way you can be happy and pleasant and have conversation and get escape from your grind while doing something stimulating to your brain and whatnot. And that's how he does it. And he's very nice. And next to him is the Adidas Pro. I don't recognize this guy, but he's wearing Adidas and he has $5,000 in front of him. And the game is 1K max at the moment. We're going to kick it up at some point. But when I sit down, it's 2-5 with a 1K max. And they're already straddling a bunch. People got it. I used to catch so much shit for trying to get the straddle on in smaller games. I always was able to get it on in big games because people were just like, yeah, fucking gamble, action, let's go. But when I started playing smaller after I hit the bottom in life, I would get some shit for trying to get the straddle on. And everyone knows, fuck playing poker with two blinds. It's boring. So this guy's got 5K though. That's pretty strong. Seat 7 is handsome and weathered. So it's just some handsome dude who's, you know, lived a life. Seat 8 is the former dealer. I don't even know if this guy's a former dealer. I know he's posted up at Ocean's 11 every time I go there now. He's very social. He drinks. Very nice dude. And I believe someone told me he used to be a dealer at the bike, something like that. He really handles himself well at the table. He assists the dealers without irritating them. He does a good job all around. And he's a good poker player. And seat 9 is the classic rec. He's one of the people that was just playing so passive in those hands where I said people failing to barrel. He flopped an open-ended straight flush draw with king, queen of hearts on jack, 10 of hearts and X and just called and let it go to showdown and let someone beat him with ace high. It was a classic wreck. Someone who's going to play very passive and And the first hand before I play a hand, now the former dealer has a set against someone who has a combo draw and they're all in and he holds. And I need to get over this. If you listened last year, and I guess every season, I've been fixated on variants. And these are a huge deal. These pots where you get it all in with a set against a combo and you hold or you don't hold, they're turning points in your career. They are. You just don't get that many of them. And I need to get over it. I need to just let it be, right? Okay, and now I'm going to play a hand. I've been folding and sipping my Bud Light, trying to get my head right on a travel day on this night. And anyways, it folds. I'm the straddle, and there's a limper, and what? No. I'm fucking up right now. I'm just the big blind. The straddle's off. I straddled, whatever, folded, whiffed, and now in the big blind, and the last minute seat changer does not straddle, so it's just 2-5, and the former dealer opens the button to 20, and the classic rec is in the small blind. He calls the 20, and I have 8-7 of clubs, and I make it 120. And I know that people listen to this podcast. Many people do, obviously, and many people I play against listen to it, and that's okay. 8-7 of clubs is a reasonable hand to 3-bet. I haven't done anything yet, and it's a late open, which is going to be super wide, and yeah. I mean, it's disadvantageous to for me, for others to know like what I'm 3-betting with and whatever, but who cares? That's a good hand, and I won't be playing at Ocean's 11 soon. And if I will, it'll be in bigger games. I hope that I'm like building, who knows? Anyways, the next note is the cards have flowers on them. The cards at Ocean's 11 are very cheap. They look like your grandma's wallpaper, and I don't know why, but they do. I know that they're really cutting costs at Ocean's 11. I'm told that by some employees that are pretty unhappy. And I know a lot of places are doing this. Hawaiian Gardens is doing this too. They're just going for all profit. I don't know. I know it's business. It's business, right? And that's why I suck at businesses. I just don't. I mean, what the fuck? If you're profitable, yeah, you want to max profit, but at what expense? You know, you're going to cut the you used to give free water, not anymore. You used to have good menu, not anymore. You used to have cards where you could look at them. You could just look, you know, one hand, peel them. And now they look like they were cut out of your grandma's wallpaper. And you can't do that. If you do that, you're going to break them. So you got to lift them up. I don't know. But a man sits down and he is Action Man. And he just, it looks like a Russian playboy, like in his 50s. And he just looks like Action. I don't know if he's Action. And he straddles, and I'm the button, and I open Queen, Deuce of Diamonds. And it's dicey. I almost didn't open it looking at this guy. But I'm still going to open it, and it folded. So maybe he's not as Action as I thought, or maybe he just didn't have a great hand. Let me take another sip of coffee. You see a Russian playboy and you open the button against their straddle, you expect them to defend almost always, right? And 3-bet a decent amount too. Anyways, I isolate the nice rec. I have pocket sevens. He limps, I raise, I have pocket sevens, and it comes queen, king, queen, jack. And he checks, and I know I have the range advantage, but I'm just not betting here with sevens. This hand has no equity. And this is different. Ocean's 11's different. It's rich people playing cards, and they're just not folding anything. So this is good. This is a good play to not bet here. And I check back, and the turn's an ace. He checks. I've given up on this hand. And then the river's a seven. A river's set on king, queen, jack, ace. And I just bet small. I have a set. He checks, you know, so he doesn't have a straight. I bet small, and he calls, and he said he had a jack. So that's the thing, is I was just going to get paid, you know, I'm going to get paid anywhere I go. People know that I bluff a lot, and maybe a lot is a massive understatement. But anyways, it's nice the river is set, just a baby pot. And guess who sits in the box? The curse dealer. There are two very, 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 very unlucky dealers at Ocean's 11. One of them is an older Asian woman, and she might be a little shady. I think someone caught her grabbing some chips out of the pot or something. Maybe not. I said might. That's fair. This one is like Eastern European, the sweetest person to ever, step in that joint. She's so nice, but she's very, very unlucky. She's the one, I said she was unlucky for a while, and she's the one that dealt the final hand of season 4, where I had queens and I 3-bet, and the guy 4-bet huge with jacks, and it came jack XX with a flush draw. And I just never folded, and I lost the biggest pot I played all year on the last hand of the year, and it sucked. And that's her, right? And so she's in, and that, I'm going to take note of that. And, you know, I'm in the one, she sits in the box and smiles and says, hi, how are you? And I'm like, good, how are you? And God, don't kill me, dealer. Okay, now here's a good play. It's my straddle, 2-5-10, I'm the 10. I got jack 6 offsuit. Everyone and their mother limp. And I just check the jack 6-0. It comes 6-4-3. Okay, I just bet 20. And the last minute sea changer calls. So he's going to have a five here a lot. And I'll probably just keep betting against him on a lot of cards. Well, the action guy, the Russian playboy, goes to 80. And he does look action. But I know what this is. They all limped. I lead on 6-4-3. He goes to 80. He has a big pocket pair that he slow played preflop. I just know it. And I just look at him. He is a Russian playboy. And I see his phone. He has another Russian person calling him. You know, it has the name on it. And anyways, it's pretty good to not even consider continuing there with Jack 6. I don't know. I was proud of myself in the moment. Pretty easy fold, but I folded. And it's also a good fold because the unlucky dealer. Yeah, she's wearing the same Chargers jersey she was wearing during that last hand of 2021, the end of season 4. So certain nights they wear, you know, football jerseys, and she's wearing that same one. So that's another reason why it was a good fold. Okay, 2-5. So the straddle's on and off, on and off. We'll get it on. Don't worry. 2-5, I wrote nice and new limp. And that doesn't mean a nice and new player, the nice recreational player and a new guy, the weathered, the, you know, handsome and weathered or whatever I call them is gone. So the nice guy limps and some new guy limps and I have black aces and I go to 25 and 2-5 and the rolling gambler calls in the small blind and he must be a patron. Patrons, the people that support my content, they love to flat in the small blind. They love it more than they love anything else in life. Like, you know, a romantic getaway with their significant other or being able to flat some sketchy hand in the small blind. Oh, they're going to take the sketchy hand in the small blind. So I'm wondering if the rolling gambler is a patron. Probably. Okay. And then, you know, Adidas calls, the Adidas Pro with 5K. And then, you know, the nice rec and the new player. They all call the 25. Okay. And it comes queen 7-5 with two hearts. I have black aces. I'm a grinder. That's the hand I raise with. And it checks to me, and I bet 70 into what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 70 into 125 with aces on queen 7-5, two hearts. And the rolling gambler goes all in from the small blind. And, it, you know, everyone folds quickly and gets back to me, and I'm going to snap it off. He's all in for $400. And queen 7-5, two hearts, I have black aces. I'm calling, yeah. And everything gets there. Like, all the kickers for a queen, a heart gets there. Everything gets there. A nine gets there. And he says, queen. And I'm like, wow. So I turn over my hand, and I won. I stacked the rolling gambler. And it was a board, it was a run out such that I did not think I was going to win. And so I'm the one getting lucky this year so far. And I wrote, you live long enough, you become what you hate. And that's just me feeling guilty for running good. And it's irrational, but it's also what I wrote in my phone on this night on a travel day as I was drinking Bud Lights rapidly. And here is another hand. Let's see what you think about this one. The classic wreck limps. It's a straddled. This one's 2-5-10. He limps, and I go to 40 with ace-9 of diamonds. And the straddler was the Adidas Pro. He defends. He's in there a lot. And the classic wreck, the guy who just called with an open and a straight flush draw on two overs and just let it go to showdown in this really bloater that he should have won every time. So they call, right? We got about 120 in there. It comes king, queen, five with two diamonds. I have ace, nine of diamonds. I flop the nut, flush draw. And they check to me, and I bet half. And that's $60. I broke out, you know, I'm on my phone a lot taking notes. Well, I swiped right to the calculator, and I did 40 times 3 divided by 2, and it said 60, and so I bet 60. And only the recreational player called. The Adidas Pro folded, and the turn on king, queen, five, two diamonds when I have ace, nine of diamonds is the three of diamonds. What a joke. I just turned the joint. He checks. I bet one third of the pot here. So that means I bet $80, I believe. And I'm targeting a king. It's hard to get value against someone who's Seems very passive and conservative. And I bet a third. And he calls. And the river is an offsuit seven. And now I know this is the sticky street. I bet 200. I'm just trying to get paid from a king. And he calls quickly. And I turn over the nuts. And he turns over pocket fives. Holy shit. He flop bottom set. I turned the nut flush. And, you know, he just check called the whole way. Otherwise, the pot would have been enormous, but still very fortunate. And now I'm really spooked about how good I'm running this year. I won my first two sessions. This is my third session. I just made the, this guy flopped a set. I flopped the nut flush draw, and I just turned the flush, and the river didn't pair the board. And I got in with aces on queen, seven, five, two hearts, and it came heart and nine and fucking everything, all the kickers, and I still won. And then I wrote, then I started to get strategic. I wrote, be smug. It's the only way to keep this going. So I'm becoming a new pro again. Holy shit. And, you know, grizzled vets don't like new pros. New pros are the guys that sit down, they run hot, and if they're smug enough, they're going to continue to run hot. But I have a problem with that. Humility is like one of my main things in life. It's hard for me to be smug, but it's the only way to keep your new pro heater going, even though I'm far from a new pro. And it's time for my worst play. Okay. I open ace queen under the gun, not thinking this is 100% a limp spot. I said at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, you're going to hear me limp a lot in early and middle position in many games. Not always. If it's a fucking nitty game, I'll open. But in a game like this with a bunch of rich dudes behind me, I'm going to be limping and setting myself up to win the pot, and going to be limp re-raising a lot with a lot of hands, not just the classic OMC hands, but I'll be limp re-raising a bunch. I'll limp fold plenty. Who cares? You throw a fucking red bird in there and you fold, no shame in that. And I'll be limp calling a good amount as well. Anyways, that's what this spot was. It was a limp re-raise spot. But instead, I opened and fucking, it was like dominoes. Everyone put in whatever I put in, and now you're out of position with ace queen offsuit, and it comes king 10 X, and I fucking checked. And I should bet small, even though I'm up against an army of opponents. I should be betting small here with ace queen on king 10 X because I'm going to call, and I'd rather have initiative. And anyways, the last second sea changer bet, and he didn't seem that strong, and they folded, and it came back to me, and I called. And so I should have limped. I failed preflop. It's old habit, raise, right? And also I should have led. I think I was thinking about preflop, and I just checked, like, I don't know. So I fucked up the first two streets, and then I called, that's fine. And the turn is an X, and I check, and he bets small and prices me in, like, you know, if the ace is good, which it should be, and the jack is good, I have enough pot odds here. So I call, but I don't know, man. Like, I might have butchered this street as well. I should have limped, and then, you know, if everyone limps, so be it. But someone's going to raise, and then I can repop and play poker. But, you know, against 100 opponents, you're fucked out of position, and it came king 10x. I should lead small. I didn't. I checked and called. Okay. And then on the turn, I checked, and folding would have been the worst, and I called. Raising might have been better, actually. And you know, drinking Bud Lights as fast as possible. Most people in there know me, and who knows? It's debatable. But anyways, the river was a brick, and I checked, and he checked back, and he had ace 10 offsuit. So I did have him dominated going in, but he was just one of a million opponents heading to that flop, and I just really hated how I played that hand, and that's okay. I don't know. Now I had to fold an overpair to the rolling gambler. I knew he had a gutter on the flop, and one of the gutters got there on the turn, but I bet it anyways because my hand was very susceptible, and he raised me, and I just knew. I had an overpair, and I just knew that he got there, and I folded. I lost 250 in that hand, and I wrote, I should have been smug. I really should have. When I won with aces against whatever he had, and then when I made the nut flush against a set, I should have been smug. That's how you keep your heater going, and I wasn't. I fucked up. Okay, and now I flop a set and I lose a fucking fat pot to the Adidas guy. You know, the guy had 5K when I sat down. Well, now he has more. And I folded the river. I played the hand well, but I ran poorly. And it's all because I wasn't smug. I was a fucking idiot. God's like, here, we're going to see how you do with the new pro distribution. And session one, easy win. Session two, easy win. Session three, off to an easy win. And then you know you got to be smug. You got to be like, shh, yeah, this is easy, right? But I wasn't. I was like, damn, I'm running good. And then God's like, you fucked up. Boom, boom, boom. So it's going the other way. Okay. And now I have ace queen and I whiff, but this time I steal the pot. I remember who I am and my name is Dragon Man. And so that means you don't feel sorry for yourself when you whiff. You just go to the next level. Okay, can this motherfucker I'm up against fold? Yeah, I think he can. Let me steal this pot. I did. And now I thought Ben Roethlisberger threw a joke TD. I had the Cleveland Browns in the second half against the Steelers on this night, and it wasn't. It was Najee Harris, I think is his name. I think he had zero touchdowns all year, and he ran like a 75-yarder for no reason with like 1 minute left. When he should have just taken a knee, and that fucked my second half Browns bet. Okay, and now it's time for a mixed play. That means I went to the mixed game, you know, where they have 19 placards, and no, I didn't do that. I just played this hand poorly in spots and well in spots. It's a mixed play. It's 2, 5, 10, 20. Oh, shit. So we made the game official. You got to do it. I got to be better about this anywhere I play. Once you get the third blind on, make it official, because someone inevitably is going to come in and ruin it, and not only are they going to ruin the game, but I'm going to tilt, and it's going to be bad all around. So we made it official, 2, 5, 10. The max buy-in is now 2,500, I believe. I think it's 800 to 2,500, and so now people are putting the 20 on, and now we have a big game. This is as big as a 10-20 game, no question, and that's how it goes. And I open King-Jack offsuit to 60. And the Adidas dude called, whoa, I feel like there might have just been an earthquake. Okay, the Adidas dude calls, and okay, so 2, 5, 10, 20, the 20 is put on by the former dealer, and I opened a 60 with King Jack off, and the Adidas guy calls, he has all the chips, and the dealer defends, right? And it comes Queen 7, 6 with two spades, and I have the King of Spades, they check to me, and I bet half pot, because I have the King of Spades, and there's two, in theory, sure, you could build this into your game, you play online, whatever, in live poker, at this level, it's fucking dumb. You just don't bet here. You just don't. You don't have to. You don't need to. You're just not folding out enough. And then if you bink, it doesn't matter. Like, you get paid. You don't have to do this. So the nerdy side of my poker brain wants to bet because I have the King of Spades. And the experienced side, the practical side says, you're a fucking idiot for betting. And I did. And the Adidas pro called. Okay. And sure, if they both folded, that would have been great. But he called, and the turn's an offsuit ace. Okay, so now I have a gut shot, at least. And I have a quote-unquote scare card. But guess what? Had I checked the flop, I could rep this ace better. So, I don't know. I mean, it depends. Depends what he's thinking. But, so he checks. And I bet 120. I got here, but I should not have bet the flop. I did. Well, now I'm going to bet 120 in rep that I just hit this fucking ace. And this can do two things. One, it could fold out. If he had like a seven, he could fold now, right? Or if he had pocket eights, he could fold now. Also, if he has a draw, I'm actually getting value with my king high. I like this part a lot. I like this turn bet a lot. He calls, the river's a six, and so it's queen, seven, six, two spades. Let me rewind this. What had happened was we made the game 2-5-10. So it's no longer 2-5. And you want to straddle? Yeah, let's straddle. We're straddling. Hey, you straddle. No, it's fucking 2-5-10. You don't straddle. The dealer's going to punch you in the face. No, the dealer won't deal you cards. So it's 2-5-10, and now, you know, the people that get it or want to gamble put on the 20. And the former dealer's one of those people, puts on the 20. I open a 60 with king-jack offsuit. The dude wearing Adidas, nice guy, has all the chips, calls, out of position, and the dealer defends as well. And it comes queen-7-6-2 spades. I have the king of spades. They check to me. I bet half because I'm thinking stuff that I shouldn't be thinking at the table, you know, in a live game. And I get a call from the guy that was in the blinds, the Adidas pro. And then the turn's an offsuit ace. That's a good card if he was calling with a 7 or pocket 8s or something like that. And it also will charge a draw. If he has 8-9, it's good. And if he has spades that doesn't have a pair, it's good. And anyways, you know, it's an ace, and I bet 120. I like that. It does a couple things. And he calls, and the river's a 6, pairing the board, and now he leads 125. And if you take this check call, lead weak into a lag, they want to, and it's a dragon you're playing against, they want to open their mouth and spit fire and burn the plays down with a raise, or at least maybe even a call. They want to think about calling, and they want to raise. All that shit's dumb. This guy has fucking 6K, 7K in front of him now. He doesn't look stressed at all. It's dumb. What this is he had the ace X of spades, and he turned top pair with his nut flush draw, and now he's trying to get thin value, or I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but I folded. And so the fold was good, the turn was good, the flop was bad. And you gotta play all streets well. And Cocktails was tilting me too, because she didn't understand that I wanted to have a tab. And is that entitled? You bet. But have I earned it at Ocean's 11? Also, you bet. And this is, you know, this is what I said, travel tilt. I've noticed, this is something I've realized lately, when I tilt hard at the poker table, it has less to do with variance than I thought it did. It has more to do with, what has my day been like? Has it been too busy? Have I worked too hard? Have I dealt with too many people? And have I traveled? And all that shit, you know, like you get on a plane and like someone's being a fucking nit and then like the guy, you know, just all that shit, it adds up and then you work and then you nap and you can be grumpy after you nap and whatever. That's what that is. And so, yeah, that's on me. I know that. Okay, but I'm making small adjustments this year. It's the beginning of the year. I'm working towards something that's going to happen soon where I will be playing poker fresh. But, you know, it's not a switch you can flip. You got to slowly push that switch up. If that makes any sense. Okay. So, I 3-bet with ace queen to 120. So this is just a 2-5-10 hand. And the action player, the Russian playboy, he ain't that much action. He opens a 40, I go to 120. It's a dog shit board. And I just check down, try to get to showdown with ace high. And he wins with sixes. Unlike a board where I don't think he would have folded sixes. So just a flip, lose 120 there. Big deal. It's time for a dragon play. And this is pretty interesting, I think, or pretty cool. Because someone opens and everyone and their mother call. And I'm in the small blind with 8-6 of diamonds and I call. You know why? You know why I call with a shady hand in the small blind? Because I'm a patron now. I'm a raising the nuts patron. I signed up on their Patreon page, patreon.com/raisingthenuts, I think. And I'm a patron, so I can flat fucking hands in the small blind. That's what patrons do. Okay. So I have 8-6 of diamonds, and, you know, it's multi-way. I can do some things. I can navigate. It comes ace-4-3, 2 hearts and a diamond. Not a great flop for 8-6. Ace-4-3, 2 hearts and a diamond. I do have some, you know, turn cards that could be nice. And here's not one of them. It's a black ace. Ace-4-3, 2 hearts and a diamond, a black ace. I just didn't think anyone had much. So I led. Debatable. But if you do this, you better finish the job. There's nothing worse than leading here and not finishing the job. Well, sometimes you can just win. But the classic rec calls, and I think he has an ace. So it's ace-4-3, 2 hearts and a diamond. But it's a multi-way bloater. And so I think he has 3 aces, and the river is a queen of hearts. Does he have a flush draw? I don't think so, because he was the button, and it checked all the way to him. He never even thought about betting. I think he just has an ace, and he just has a weak ace, and the turn gave him trips, and he called. And the river, though, is a queen of hearts. He cannot have ace queen. I don't think that's something I should worry about, and I don't think he has a flush, so there's 160 in the pot, and I bet 310. And he went in the tank for a while. But I just didn't think I'd seen enough from this guy. Seems like a nice guy. And, you know, but he played his open-ended straight flush draw two over cards so passively. Never went for it. He's flatted a button raise and folded to my three bet. And he just remember he flopped a set against me and he just check call when I made the nut flush. Well, so this is a guy that I'm going to overbet against and try and get to fold three aces. And he went in the tank for a long time and he folded. So that's a dragon play. It's not my best play because it's sketch. Pre-flop sketch, flop sketch, or turn sketch, whatever. But the overbet on the river, it's pretty pure. I like it. Okay, so now I whiff a draw. Three in position, three ways. So this is a 2-5, 10-20 hand. I open and I got action from probably the rolling gambler and the Adidas guy, and this was a bloater, and I flopped the world, and I turned and rivered. Nothing right. That's right, thank you, Kanye. Then action guy, the Russian playboy, opened, and I had aces again, and I three bet normal size, normal everything, and everyone folded, including the opener. This guy is not as much action as he looks. That can happen. So the first hand you play against him, you just got to go with the profile. And then you learn stuff, and that's how poker is. And now the Adidas guy is bluff catching. I have a weak hand, but it's a pair, and I know he has ace high, and I'm targeting ace high. And I'm taking this dude to value town. And he binks. The river's an ace, and he checks. Now I check back, and he had exactly what I thought. And then turns out this guy's not a pro. He has a job, and he's just a rec player on a heater. And they look very similar to a pro on a heater, a new pro. And he's got a lot of chips. And the floor man in Ocean's 11 on this night is acting hypomanic, if not manic. And it brings me back to the first podcast I ever recorded. And it wasn't for sessions. It was for Solicited Advice podcast. And I was talking about a different young floor man acting manic or hypomanic. And that's what David and I talked about at the beginning of that one. And it just brought me back. Okay. And I got whacked on this night in NBA and NFL. But I don't always get whacked anymore. In fact, some people are scared to book my NBA bets. It doesn't matter. People, till the end of time, will get spooked by variance. No one will ever get that this shit is all just flips, but it's, you know, in myself included, I try and study it. I look at the injury report. It's all a joke, but I don't know. But on this night I got whacked in NBA and NFL. And when I get whacked in sports, I want to go to the dice den. I want to roll electronic dice against people in this community that I'm building. And then we send Venmo and whatnot. And, you know, there was action going on in there, but it's six handed right now, so I got to focus on poker, and I'm stealing, and then I make the nut flush against the nice recreational player's second nut flush, and I got a clean river, and I had the Adidas guy lead into me for some reason, which just made it easy for me. I made it enough to stack the nice rec, and and I did. I stacked him. And I wrote something kind of smug. I wanted to be smug again. I want to keep this going. I made nut flush against second nut flush. I wrote, I hope he drove home safe. And this guy's super nice. I like him. But I'm trying to be smug. I hope he drove home safe. I had the nut flush, buddy. You had the second nut flush. That's poker. No, that's a fucking cooler. Anyways, I wrote, former dealer, chill. I already said that. I've said that a million times. You know, when people are chill at the table, it's a rarity, so give them some props. And then I lose. Sometimes being smug doesn't work. I lost a life, which, you know, old school listeners know is about $700, with a straight flush draw and two live cards against the Adidas Pro. Fuck. So I won more than that when I had nut flush against second nut flush, and when I was running hot in the beginning of the session, I failed to be smug, and it cost me. Then I started running bad, and now I ran super hot here. Nut flush against second nut flush, and I tried it. I hope he drove home safe, and it didn't work. I lost, you know, a big pot with huge draw. And now the guy sits down that made an appearance at the end of season. He made a couple of appearances at the end of season four. He talks a lot, very social, and he was rebuying for me. He was being my personal chip runner at the table. He's a pro. I don't know. I guess he's a fucking pro. But he's got a bunch of chips in his pocket. And so we were playing, I think, $1,000 cap, and I just was losing every single hand. So I'd be like, here, man, can I get 300 more? Can I get 300 more? And then he said, are you sure you don't want some pocket chips? Which was pretty funny. It was a pretty funny needle. I don't know if he was trying to needle me or not. Well, the 5C is open because, you know, I just stacked the nice rack. Sorry. But that's open. And the 2C's open, the last second C changer left. So I said we were six-handed. Those 2C's are open now at this point in time. And he goes to sit in the 5, and he sees me and says, oh, actually, I'm going to go to the 2. She says that to the dealer. I said, don't do that, man. He says, oh, no. I promise it's not because of you. I said, I promise I don't believe you because I don't. It's 100% because of me. You want to have position? We all want to have fucking position on the lag. It doesn't work like that. You don't. I played with this dude twice before. He was on my direct left both times. And now he's going to be in the 5 when I'm in the 1, which isn't bad. And he goes to the 2 when he sees that I'm in the 1 and I don't like this. And you know, 3 strikes, you're out. I don't fucking like this. Rich Lotti does this to me too. And I kind of don't think anyone's good at poker. So I just let it, in the moment, I just let it slide, but it's just bad. This, you know, they're all like decent at poker. Some people are good, and it's just bad. I don't know. So I'm switching to cocktails at this moment too. I've had as many Bud Lights as I can. You know, eventually you got to go to like a Crown and Diet. You got to. And I'm switching to cocktails, and I flop another goddamn set. So I flopped a set and lost a huge pot to Adidas guy. And now I flop another set, and he leads, and I raise. So I raise with some pocket pair, and now he leads a flop. I just raise because I know I'm switching to cocktails. I know my image. I just kind of had it out with this pro who, you know, it's a nice guy and whatever, but you just can't take the fucking seat on the guy's left every time. You just can't, man. I mean, you can, but fuck, that's lame. Anyways, so I raise, and now a new guy who, where the rolling gambler was, is just a regular gambler, and he's in there, and he calls, and I know he has a flush draw, and I turn motherfucking quads. The Adidas guy folded. I turn quad. I think I raised with deuces. I opened with deuces late, and, you know, they called out of position, and so I checked the turn because I knew this guy had a flush draw, and I turned quads, and fucking the river was his flush, and he led, and I raised him fucking huge. He used my image, and he snap called me with his flush, and so now that's cool. I've run hot, I've run not hot. I've had very big hands, and you know, played a lot of big pots, and now this guy who didn't like me saying like you shouldn't fucking sit on my left, he's telling everyone at the table I have a podcast, and he's like trying to out me. I don't know, man. This is a travel day for me. I'm exhausted. I took a nap, but I'm still exhausted and worn out, and this is starting to grate on me. And the Adidas Pro opens, and I 3-bet with ace queen, and he calls and comes queen 8-5, and this is a 2-5-10-20 hand. It's a big one. And he leads on queen 8-5 rainbow. I have ace queen. I could raise. I just call. And the turn's a jack. And the jack comes out, I said, I don't like that. But I'm trying to think, why the fuck don't I like it? What, does he have queen jack? Like, I don't know. And he leads again. I call. And the river is a brick. And he leads again. And I call. And he's not leading huge or anything. I just, you know, I 3-bet with ace queen, and it came queen 8-5 rainbow, and he's a recreational player with 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 in front of him, and he just led 3 times, queen 8-5 rainbow, jack X, and he had jack 8. So that's really not running good when you 3-bet jack. When you have ace queen, you 3-bet in position, and jack 8 defends, and it comes queen 8-5, and he leads, you should win this pot, but you don't. Comes Jack, and he doesn't get counterfeited, and lost, you know, maybe a 1,000 in his hand, and this is a bigger game. And I see a goat in the 2-2. And what's a goat? That's just someone that used to really play big and punt it off. Now they're playing in the blue chip game, and that happens all the time. And it's everything's going wrong for me now. This guy on my left is outing me for having a podcast, the last shit I want at the table. And, you know, I'm sure several people at the table already know it, and he just won't stop talking. Maybe he's offended that I called him out for fucking seat hopping. I don't know, but it's just going the wrong way. And I'm getting out kicked in pots. And then I 3-bet a week open with ace queen again. It comes 10-6-5. I just check fold. And then I isolate the action guy with red ace 10. And, you know, he just limp call and it came all clubs. I just gave up, folded. And it's time for my best play. I thought about going to take a break at the bar, and then I thought, no, I haven't won a fucking pot in a while. Things have been going poorly. Let's do my best play. I squeezed huge with king four suited in the straddle. So it's 2-5-10-20. And only the Adidas Pro called. And I just, when someone limps and calls your big squeeze, it's a pocket pair a ton. And it came, it could be ace X suited, but it could be other stuff. But it's a pocket pair a ton. It came king, queen, queen. Okay. So I have kings and fours with a queen, or kings and queens with a four. And he checks. And I would normally bet small here to protect against a pocket pair binking, right? Just really small. But I knew that if I checked back, this guy would bluff. And that's what I wanted. So I just checked back on king, queen, queen with king four. And and it came 10. And he bet. I knew he was weak. And I feigned weakness and called. And the river was a 7. And now he went from weak bet to over bet. And I just knew in that moment, 100%, not 100, but 100, that he had pocket 7s. And so he 2-outed me. And his hand wouldn't make sense for anything else. It only reps that, given all my reads. And I folded. And that's my best play. It's just, and, you know, I didn't see his hand, but he had 7s. So how do you say 100% if you didn't see his hand? Because he had 7s. Anyways, what happened was I ran hot, and then we kicked up the game. We made it official. Once you make it official, 2-5-10, then the 20 becomes live. And I stole a bunch of pots. And then I lost, like, every VPIP, like 20 of them in a row. Hunter the punter sat down. He got up on his small blind. You hate to see that. It's 2-5-10. He pays the 10 and the 5 and gets up on the 2. I don't know. This guy, Hunter the punter, is the best. And then I defended with 5-4 offsuit against the Adidas Pro. Just had a really good night. And, you know, I've had a good night, but it's been swingy. And it came 10-deuce-deuce. And I checked, and he bet. And I just had a read that he was super weak. And I just check raised small on 10-deuce-deuce. Sure, call. But then what are you going to do on the turn? Well, he called, and the turn was a 7. I bet a lot, and he folded. And folded for a while. I opened the small blind. So 2-5-10, it folds around to me in the small blind. I open with Jack 10, and the kid that was gonna sit on the 5 and, like, has been very friendly and whatever, and was giving me chips every time, and went to the 2. I just took it personally because I should, and you know, and he's telling everyone I have a pod now, and, like, what's wrong with you? And, like, oh, so fuck, man. And he 3-bet, and I fold, and that was it for the session. So I played 5 hours on a travel day, and I won a full repair on my trusty old Lexus. Like, one of those times where it breaks down, I contemplate, oh, maybe I shouldn't fix it, and then I always do because I'm loyal to my fucking car. I don't know. So now we're going to do the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check. Yeah. So every Friday, there's going to be a scoreboard check. There are going to be 50 of them, and I said I want to play 750 hours this week. Not this week. That'd be a lot. This year. So in week one, you know, you got to play 15 each week. And I played 12. So I'm 3 behind pace after week one to get to the goal of 750. And every win is worth 5 points. These are very important. And every loss is -5. Well, I'm a new pro. I won all 3 sessions, so I got 15 points here. I only needed to get 5 to be on pace, so I'm 10 points ahead of pace in the wins category, and I want to get to 250 points. That's winning 2 out of 3 sessions. Can I do it? Yeah, I can do it. I have to try a little harder. I won a little bit less than that last year. I have to try a little harder, play a little longer sessions, be a little more prepared, and hopefully get to a point this year where I'm actually playing poker fresh. But it doesn't happen. There's no switch. Well, you just can't flip it. You got to slowly push it up to that. And anyways, you know, ran hot, so it didn't matter. I played one session, the first one of the year, sober and rested, and fucking everyone was dead. And then the other two were you know, this one you just heard, Travel Day, and the other one was called On Sauce. So that means I was drinking that night as well, and whatever. Let's get some Patron news out there. After the end of season four, this is what happened leading up to the turn of the year to 2022. Dave signed up. Thank you, Dave. And then Dave Chin, my old friend, signed up at $51 a month. Fuck yeah. And that was the Gladiator, if you saw him play on Hustle Casino Live. Thanks, Dave. And Dave's a funny dude. Great part of the community already. And JW Station gave me a raise to $16.88. That's the most plus EV tier of being a patron. At 422, you get all the content and you get the forum. You get like a 2+2 of cool people, not nits, not trolls, right? And then at 844, you get Slack and you get some gambling and you know, you can do meetups from the forum too, like the big meetups, but you get the daily ones and all that. And then at 1688, you get to play poker, essentially rake free. And what happened this year is everyone that was at 16, or last year, everyone was at 1688, basically got their whole year paid for because they had a piece of Check Raise Charles in the main event. And we put them in the main event from the money, the Poker Bros money. We don't take any fucking profit. We just pay Poker Bros and the rest goes to putting someone in the main event or other tournaments or other tournaments. And so people didn't even know they had a piece of Check Raise Charles. He cashed. He fucking grinded it out. He was card dead for 3 days and just fucking was a warrior, cashed. Not even a min cash, better than a min cash. And so we were Venmoing people and they're like, what? I didn't even know this. It paid for my whole year. So that's why it's the most plus EV tier. Anyways, and you don't even have to play poker to get that to qualify. Derek signed up. Brian, who I used to battle with, high stakes, heads up. And he's a high stakes guy in Vegas, signed up. Thank you, Brian. He came in at $10. Greg signed up. Mahler went to the 1688. Smart. It's the most plus EV tier of my Patron, my Patreon. And then someone at $10 a month deleted, and I cried. And then Middlebridge signed up. And then someone went from the plus EV tier, the most plus EV tier of 1688 to 422. They had a community issue that I didn't see, but it's going to happen, and they just decided, I just want the content now, and that's fine. Those are going to nothing's perfect. And anyways, I appreciate them staying on. And so anyways, to start 2022, 353 patrons, and I need to get 600 points here. So I need 150 more patrons. You get 3 for each patron. Is that right? No, that's stupid. I need to get 4. You get 4 points for each new patron or each patron with a decline card that fixes their card. And then you lose 4 points anytime a card goes bad or someone quits. So the goal is 600 points, which means 150 net new patrons in this year. And I can do that. All right, I need to be able to do that. So anyways, David went to 1688. I don't get points for that. He was already a patron, but I appreciate the raise always. And that's the best tier. And then RJ Leffe went to 844. So RJ Leffe can be on Slack. And then Sinna Strategist went to 844. Same thing. So these are all raises, and I appreciate it. And then Ryan came in with a straddle. Okay, there's 4 points on the board. And then Stizzle37 came in. That's 4 points. Okay, nice. We need to add 3 patrons a week. That's the thing. If there's 50 weeks, you got to get to 150 new patrons. You need to add 3 a week, net 3. We added 2, but also we had 5 decline cards. So we got a net minus 3 for week 1, which means minus 12 points. 4 points for every additional patron and minus 4 for everyone you lose. 5 decline, 2 new, minus 12 points. So we have minus 12 on this part of the scoreboard right now. And, you know, the pace at this point is 12. So we're 24 behind pace to get to 600 points. Okay, Poker Eggs. For Poker Eggs this year, only orders from my page or my section. So you go on PokerEggs.us, there's Team Poker Eggs, there's Hustler Casino Live, there's Marley, there's High Six Poker Productions, Check Race Charles, Raising the Nuts, 08 Grinder, and so on. And mine, right? And those are the only time I get points. That's what the Nevada Gaming Commission said. It wasn't my call, but only stuff ordered from, and there's a bunch of it. I have, you know, 5 seasons now of this podcast, and there's just a ton of stuff, and no one ordered anything in week one. So only need 8 items ordered per week. So we got 0, and we're 8 behind pace. And the number we want to get to is 423. So for the countdown to 2023, we need 2,023 points to keep this podcast going. It's the way it works. You can't pour everything you have into something and then not pay your bills and whatnot, right? So this is the way for me to do it. If I know my startup's growing and it's stuff that's going to also promote my podcast and then my podcast is growing and the community's, well, then it makes sense, right? And so the pace is 40 points each week. That'll get you to 2023. It's 40 in a fraction, but 40 when you round it. And we got 15 points. So we're 25 points behind pace to get to 2023. And it's okay. It's only the first week. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags. We dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.